All underground is sinking sand. All underground is sinking sand. Jesus' blood and righteousness, and I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground. Support me in the whirling flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay.
Like a snowplow right down, everybody went that size.
That's right.
Everybody survived a snowstorm? I think some didn't, though. They don't are here yet, so we'll see if they got dug out, huh? All right, you guys ready to stand up? Do a little worshiping with us this morning? All right, so we believe at Haven Church, you guys were brought in for a reason. God invited you, gave you an appointment today, so He's got something in store for you this morning. for all of us.
Stone, we made strong.
my sorrows. He made them his very own. And he bore the burden to Calvary. And he suffered and died alone. Sing it, how marvelous, how wonderful. Joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. Sing it, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior.
Everybody know the song. Sing it with us.
Let's sing it. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
All right, you know what? How many remember this song from years ago? How many remember singing this song in a hymnal? It was a book like the screen, and it's an awesome song. So I just want to go ahead. I'd like to just go once ahead and sing that first verse and that chorus two more times. All right, you ready? I want to hear you shout it out. You got a week of worship pent up in you, right? So you got to let it out. You've been cooped up in snowstorm with lots of milk and bread, and you don't know what to do with it. So get it out. All right, here we go.
Stand amazed.
I stand amazed.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned.
All right, let's hear it. Here we go. Lord God, we just thank you for your presence here. We thank you for just time that we may have been able to spend with family or others by keeping us inside. But mostly, God, we just thank you for your presence. How wonderful, how marvelous. We've just kind of forgotten just how wonderful and marvelous you are. And so, God, for everybody who's here today worshiping you and for those who are joining us with Church Online, we just ask that your spirit just move a mighty way. And for this, we give you praise for your marvelous and wonderful nature. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, and as the kids are going to our Shoreline Sunday School ministry, and if you're visiting with us today, somebody will help you out there, go ahead and greet one another with you.
Remember that in the old hymn sings. Remember the old hymn sings, Fred?
How marvelous.
something I can hear you.
You good?
Yeah.
All right. Good to see everybody here today. Several different announcements. If you're visiting with us today, welcome. Hopefully you received a card. If not, we want to make sure you get one. Just thank you for being here. As Wayne alluded to earlier, we don't believe you're here by mistake. We believe that God brought you here, and we're thrilled that you're here because we want you to connect and have a good time, relax, and just connect to the Lord in a special way. But if you fill that card out, you can go ahead and we'll be able to have a small gift for you and also just to connect to you. It was great. How many of you got a phone call, a text, or something? That told you church what we weren't having church. So if you didn't, you need to be on our list so that we can make sure we get that out. Hopefully we don't need it again until next year, right? But that's hoping. We all thought with 70-degree weather at Christmas that we wouldn't have this stuff, but boy, did it nail us. It's kind of good sometimes to just stop life and be together with family. If you want to be a member of Haven Church, next week we're going to go ahead and take some time for that. And there may be an up-to-date to that, and we'll update that soon. But please go ahead and get connected to that if you'd like to. The annual Mardi Gras party, February 10th, for the Dining for Women. And you read the information about those things. I'm going to skip some, and then I'm going to come back. Reminder, the rotating shelter. And Joanne, you want to share something real quick? Joanne's going to come up here as she's coming up. You'll see the emergency rotating shelter sign up, and she's going to share some things here.
I'm sharing.
Oh, great. Hey, whatever works. Here.
Check. For those of you that are new, Haven hosts the emergency rotating shelter. We take a week. The shelter is held at Five Rivers in Elkton on Route 213, and we take care of the homeless and those in need for a week. We prepare dinner, we just fellowship, games, all kinds of things. We spend the night. We are looking for volunteers for food and different shifts, various shifts. Greg's going to talk a little bit about the overnight shift. That is one of a big need that we do have. So if you want to think about doing that, and I'll be in the back of church for the next few weeks, and you can sign up for various shifts.
Well, if you want a dream job for the week of the rotating shelter, we've got it for you. It's called the overnight. Where else could you spend 10 hours of quality time reading a book that you may have never been able to read before because you never had the time, or maybe even study your Bible in a comfortable chair with a chorus serenading you of 30 people snoring away? It's a great opportunity to serve the Lord in a way that it's a difficult spot to fill because 10 hours is 10 hours, and you don't have to be a husband and wife. You can be single, or you can have a husband serve, because we know that families are not always able to because of commitments at home and school with kids. You can't always serve together. So I'm going to serve. My wife doesn't serve in this capacity, but I will. And so I'll be looking for somebody to spend the night with me. You volunteer for that. I'm not choosing it. But it's just a wonderful opportunity to serve the Lord in this way by helping those that are in need. And this is what Jesus talked about when he said, when you serve the least of my brothers and sisters, you're doing it unto me. So this is a great opportunity for us to do it unto him by serving the homeless.
Real quick, who has served at the rotating shelter before? Okay, and we got two back here. I know Wayne and Fred have too. Who served overnight before? And look, and there's two more back there. Look, they live to tell about it. So it's a great experience. I challenge you to go ahead and do that. It does touch your life. I know it's great to see Joanne in that leadership role for our church, because I know when she first did it, she did it kind of going in like, I don't know about this. And God has really used her to touch many lives. And it's just awesome to see that. So please go ahead and connect to that, if you will. And you can see the other information about signups and supplies that are due on Valentine's Day. So we want to make sure that you connect with that as well. We have a couple other things that we want to share. You have this insert right here called Football Sunday. It all comes down to this. We are having our third breakfast, men's breakfast primarily. We've had women come too. It's okay. But we have, primarily the men group have gotten together. And next Sunday at 8 o'clock, they're going to meet. And you can have this. You can invite somebody. Come. They're going to have some food. And you're going to watch this section. So let me show you a little bit of video about this section.
Hey friends, Trent Dilfer here. With Super Bowl 50 rapidly approaching, we have such a cool opportunity to talk about our faith, family, and friends, and a whole lot of football. It's called Football Sunday, and we are excited to bring it to you. You'll hear stories from NFL players like Thomas Davis. You'll be challenged by the story of future Hall of Fame quarterback Drew Brees. At the end of the day, all people really need is Jesus. And the life we're all looking for can only be found in that relationship. What if God wants to use you as part of his process? And what if this is the opportunity you've been praying for? To invite people not into a religion, but into a relationship with their creator. So let's connect with those outside of the church walls. Let's love people that are far from God.
All right, so go ahead. Just plan on coming next week if you want to be part of that event. One of the other things that we will be kicking off in 2 weeks, Valentine's Day, right? The 14th, in case you forget, man, 14th. Okay, but Valentine's Day, we will be kicking off a series. It's been one that it's a church-wide series. It's something that I've kind of held in my hand for about 5 or 6 years. I met somebody before the church started, the person who actually wrote the initial book and put together. It's very, very good. If you've ever wondered what small group ministry is about, it's a great time to get connected to that. We have about three or four definites, and so we also need some more leaders. If somebody would like to, and by leaders, it's a facilitator. You're going to open up and just say, here we go. You have a place. Some are doing them here. Some are doing them elsewhere. I know we're going to have a Sunday morning, correct, before church that we're going to start this, but this is probably one, I've kept this for years and wanted to do it, but it's called 1 month to live. And the premise is if you have 1 month to live, how would you live it differently? And why are you waiting until you have 1 month to live differently that way? So look at this video really quickly.
I had 1 month to live.
I had 1 month to live.
If I had 1 month to live, I put my heart where it needs to be.
Enjoy every day with him.
I would spend every waking moment with my kids and my husband and let the laundry pile up and the dishes overflow the sink and just spend quality time with them.
I'd spend all my time with my family, and I have a lot of meals with them. Big round table, we'd all have a great big party.
Oh, wow. I'd probably apologize to everyone I'm supposed to apologize to.
I'd probably travel, sell my house and travel for a month.
I'd spend every minute I could with my family. I love them to death, and I don't get to spend enough time with it right now.
I would spend it with my family and friends.
I would eat more donuts.
I would take a dance class with my husband, like ballroom dancing like you see on TV.
Straighten my act up.
I would try the 70-foot triple jump over there at Three Palms on my dirt bike. Quit my job, spend it with my kids.
Probably take my family and try to go on a big hunting trip somewhere.
Right, so sound good? It's going to be really cool. So you can see we got a lot of weeks that we're going to do that. It's going to lead us all the way up to Easter, and actually I have a message planned for Easter with that. So Easter's the 27th this year, so it's early. But please go ahead and sign up. Those of you in the front, there's three different clipboards. Even if you're not going to sign up, I ask that you just kind of pass those through for each section. Each section has one, but it's a great opportunity to get together. All right, at this time we have our prayers. Lisa Osborne has asked for prayers for her mom, Sally Tigg, for healing, and her daughter, Holly, for peace. Joanne asked for prayers of Mickey Unifer, who passed away this week. We had a couple prayers from different people for Wayne Sutton for strength. He found out he has cancer and metastasized, and he went through treatments and is very, very weak. Linda Bostwick has asked for prayers for Arlene Keniston, who fell and broke some ribs. And is going to Calvert, needs prayer for healing and pain. And also keep Wayne's wife Rose in your prayers as well. June for her husband Paul, who has surgery on Tuesday to clean out an infection from surgery he had in July. Rachel asks for prayer for her son Joseph. I want to continue to have him in prayers. And also for us, continue to lift Rachel up in your prayers. Many of you got the prayer request this week that Rachel had another really bad migraine that it manifests. The first one manifested itself as a stroke, kind of like a stroke, but she came back. That was 5 years ago, and same thing this time. So they're on a little bit more, but please help her as she adapts to the medication and everything else, and just hoping that she doesn't have them again, because it's pretty scary if you've ever been through it. All right? So for all the prayer requests and joys, we just want to go ahead and thank God that everybody was safe, hopefully, during this time, and that he brought us back together today. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we thank you for who you are and for all your love and presence with us. You are an amazing God, and we love you. And there are so many things. It just seemed like it wasn't a normal week without spending time with you together. And so, God, as we meet this time, there are so many needs, people for healing, individuals that are going through, whether it's surgery or whether it's a bad diagnosis, or what have you. For those who have lost loved ones, whatever it may be, God, we know that you are the answer to all questions, to all concerns. And so during the remainder of our time together, God, we just ask that you'll just empty us out. Empty us out of all the stuff that we're dealing with, all the struggles that we're having. But more importantly, that you'll fill us back up. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Whether we're here today or part of our ministry of church online, we are one in the body of Christ, and there's so many needs. As we shared today just about the rotating shelter, and I know that we've been involved with Paris, and I know that there's other people that even in our own midst that are in need. God, you have the answers, and you have been so gracious and given us so many blessings that with those blessings we are able to continue worshiping you during this time that we call your tithe and our offering, and to give back to you. So God, we recognize, and we're not foolish enough to just believe that we have all the answers and all the resources, but we know who does. And that's you. And through our cheerful hearts, we give to you, whether here or online, and ask for you to multiply these and use them to further your ministry here and throughout our area. And Lord, even call us to do ministry throughout the entire world. We love you and see this as a further act of worship as we give to you during this time. We give you praise in Christ's mighty name. Amen.
Sadness from wherever.
no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your
morning. Today's reading is from Proverbs chapter 22, verses 1 through 3. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty.
Welcome back to the Research Labs of Better. Let's join Martin and Julie again on their first date.
He actually thinks I'm going to give him a tip.
Didn't he just say he's trying to put his kids through college?
Yeah, what a sucker.
It's like watching a train wreck, but let's see what it looks like with Better.
No, keep the change.
Aw, that's so sweet. You're helping him put his kids through college.
I'm a sucker for those stories.
When life hands you choices, choose Better.
It's probably good he's had Better, huh? He would have struck out right away. So here we are on a better, well, we will be finishing this up next week. But basically, does anybody seem like, feel like this week, like because of the snow, like went totally crazy? Anybody? Am I the only one? Maybe I'm just crazy. But anyway, if you're joining us today, or just to bring us back in, because we kind of feel like we need a kickstart, we've been studying this idea that if we make a commitment to just accepting good, then we'll miss out on the fact that the Bible and God tells us that we can have something better. And so, first week, and each week we've been doing memory verses. Remember this? And they're like, uh-oh. Okay, so each week, the first week we talked about better is what?
One day.
And what was it? Better is one day in your courts, O Lord, than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd doorkeeper. Okay, you lost it. In the house of my God, than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Remember, how many remember that and did and remember that? You just wanted other people to share. Okay, there we go. What about week two? Better is? Nope, that was the first week. Week two. I had M&Ms. One handful than two, right? Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. There we go. You guys got that last verse, that last word. I'm proud of you. All right. And week three, better is wisdom. Remember that one. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold and silver? All right, very good. And gain insight, then rather gain silver. So today, here we are. Today we're on this next week, and we're going to talk about a scripture that comes from Proverbs 22, verse 1. And it says, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver and gold. So it's our memory verse, so let's repeat it together. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Let's do it again. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Again, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver and gold. Okay, Melinda, let's give them a try. Here we go. Go ahead, take it off the screen. Don't cheat. All right, here we go. Let's try it in. A to be esteemed is, oh, that's horrific, okay, but that's okay. All right, so you got, but you guys will have it next week, right? Okay, all right. So the last message, if you remember, here we go, the second time we're having this thing about silver and gold. And silver and gold, again, remember I told you it was the most valuable, still is in many places, but in this case, if you had silver and gold, that meant you had wealth, power, prestige, etc., etc. And you could say that today, it meant that you wanted the stuff of the world. You wanted anything that you could get, the best stuff, you needed to have it. And so we could say, in this case, comparing it today, that we want a bigger, better, nicer, those kind of things, stuff that we could have. But the Bible tells us, and these things of the world are good things, but the Bible tells us that there's something better. And what it tells us in this section of Scripture, what is the better thing? A good what? A good name. A good name is better. A good name is basically having a good reputation. And so what I want to ask you right now, I want to ask you a question. What are you known for? If I mention your name, what are you known for? For instance, when people say your name, so if I said, and I did this week, I said, when you hear the name Jack Cohen, what do you think of? And then I wanted to take it a different approach, and I put, Jack Cohen is. I know I'm opening a can of worms here, but I did this week. So I want you guys right now, as you're sitting there, to write down, just somewhere on the paper, what are you known for? Or if you said, your name is, or if somebody heard that, what do they think? What do you think are the things that they think of when they hear your name? Go ahead, you can jot it down. And I'm going to share with you right now some of the things that people shared about me. I said, when you hear the name Jack Cohen, what comes to mind? And somebody said, Hulk Hogan's brother. And there's a story behind that because my nephew, when he was little, thought that Hulk Hogan's name was Hulk Cohen. And I convinced him that I was his brother, and I actually photoshopped him in a picture that he took to show and tell at school. So, all right. One person decided they were going to pass on this one, okay? One person said half man, half amazing. Interesting and never a stranger. I'm wondering about the interesting part. That sounds nice. One person put Morgan Freeman. Okay? There's a story there. I always tried to do a Morgan Freeman imitation, which they thought was very lame. So one person from a former church said sadness because I wish you were still here. One person said that I was kind and caring, a good pastor. And then another person said and a tad bit ADHD. One person put crazy. My first true friend in first grade. That was a little while ago. Somebody said son of a preacher man. One person decided to quote a song that I sang when I was a little kid and said, I'm 4'11" and I'm going to heaven. I am taller than 4'11" now, thankfully. Only by a foot, maybe. Other people get the picture and said Superman. There we go. One person remembered their first sermon they did when we met down the hill down there, the first sermon they came to, this church, and they said, a sermon on Samson and a haircut. I actually had someone cut my hair during, I multitask it. I had someone cut my hair in the middle of a sermon down the hill there. Other person said, awesome professor. One of these people wrote, my son. Okay. Somebody put ninja on the stairs. Somebody said, a wrestler at Northeast High School. And other person said, someone I've known for years and I wish I'd known better. I've seen grow as a minister and to carry the gravitas necessary, you can Google that word, to lead others to follow Christ, and someone I wish I could have known better now. Also, an awful backward football player, backyard football player, and a dude who overkicked his coverage in the wife department. So there we go. That was some of them. And I'm going to share some other ones to the Jack is as we go on. So did you struggle with that? Yes. Coming up with some things? What people would say about you? It is very interesting. I want to dispel a lie first about a good name. And this is one of the first things on your sheet here. A lot of people think that having a good name means that you have to be perfect. And this is our key thought for this week. A good name doesn't mean you're perfect. It means you are being perfected by the one who is. Let me say that again. A good name doesn't mean that you're perfect. It means that you are being perfected by the one who is. Names are interesting, aren't they? I find them fascinating. For years, there's been several stories on names and what people have. I pulled up a list of unusual names in 2015. These were names of girls. Arant Axa. I can't even say that. Chi-Chi. Fruity. F-R-O-O-T-I. Indigo. I know we have some pregnancies in here. You guys can write these names down if you like. Moxie. You can say, that girl's got Moxie. Yeah, that's her daughter. No, she's got Moxie. That's her daughter, yeah. Novali. Nix. Somebody named their kid Psalm. Let's see here. Twinkie. That's my daughter, Twinkie. All right. Unusual boys' names. Aristotle. Haven't heard that in a while. Arrow. Blade. It's kind of like this like sharpening thing that goes on here. Chet. I always think it's like an 80s movie. Like I'm Chet. All right. Everest. Indigo. Pi. P-I. The square root of him. You guys know that? All right. And let's see here. Xander. I thought it said Zoolander at first, but oh well, who knows. So there's some interesting names that people have had over the years. I remember there was this, anybody remember the Stovetop stuffing commercials? Remember the lady in there, what her name was? Toppy Smelly. How would you like to go through life with the name Toppy Smelly? I'm sure people would always give you deodorant for your birthday or whatever. But anyway, there's something about a name. Names are extremely interesting, and they seem to, they're things that we carry through life. What's one of the things, how many of you remember like when you had a child on the way, all the different names that you went through? And if you're like me, you put them with other stuff that other children could torture them through middle school with, right? To find out, and you would not use those kind of names. Naming a child is one of those interesting things, and I think Melissa and I went through a billion names with all the children that we had. But you can say, I'm not naming my kid that, or yeah, I don't like that one, and you'll go back and forth, and you'll just try to find things. Let me illustrate the power of a name. No one names their kid Adolf Hitler anymore, correct? Even Adolf is not a name that's popular. But let's look at some of these names. Adolf Hitler, what do you think of? What comes to mind? Huh? Death, evil, all this other kind of stuff. What if I mention the name Billy Graham? What comes to mind? Okay. What if I mention Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.? All right. What if I mention Gandhi? One of Gandhi's great quotes. There's two of them I like. One of them is, an eye for an eye makes the whole world go blind. But one of my favorite quotes is that he said, that is very touching. He said, I would have been a Christian if I have ever met one. That's deep. What about Osama bin Laden? What does that bring forth? What about Mother Teresa? You see, a good name can be better because the name can carry something with it. It's not just the names that we give people. It's what we do in our lives that bring a good name. Socrates, the people that go back to the founder of philosophy, mentioned this, and it's printed in your bulletin on the front. He said, regard your name as the richest jewel you can possibly possess. The way to gain a good reputation is endeavor to be what you desire to appear. So many times we desire to appear, but we don't want to do, and we don't want to live it out. So what I want to do is, we've shared that a good name is better, but why? So as I was going through this message and had some time to think about this, write and rewrite, I came to a billion different things, and I'm not going to share with you a billion different things today. But I wanted to give you three main reasons why I believe a good name is just better. Number one, a good name, here we go, and you have this in your bulletin, a good name instills confidence. A good name instills confidence. In the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 10 through 9 says, whoever walks in integrity walks how? Securely. It means that if they have a good name, meaning that they have a good life and they're a solid person, they don't have to worry about what people say about them because they know they're secure in who they are. They know that from the beginning. Now, I don't know if this has ever happened to you in your house when you were growing up as a kid, or whether those of you who have children, but occasionally something happens in the house. Like somebody, maybe even daily, that somebody will leave something out, or somebody will knock something over, or somebody will get into something that they weren't supposed to get into. Does this ring a bell with anybody? And in doing so, you will start to ask who did it, and it's amazing, everybody has amnesia. Or no one did it. We have these invisible people that come in and do stuff in our house and leave things different places, and no one does it. Does that sound to ring true to anybody's house? And I don't know about you, but sometimes it drives me absolutely nuts. And I start to go, who did this? You did it. And if it was cake, and you said, who got into the cake? And they say, I didn't do it, but they got cake all over their face. You go, really? And sometimes it's funny, but other times it's just frustrating in life. But then I look at this, and I say that we do a lot of the same things in life. We get our hands caught in the cookie jar, and we try to act like no one can see what's happening. Like, for instance, you may have stuff on your mobile device that you shouldn't be looking at or shouldn't be talking about, and you're not walking integrity because you're wondering how you're going to get rid of it and hope that nobody sees it. Or you start gossiping about a friend, and now you're worried, oh my gosh, what if they find out that I started all this gossip? Or you say, I'm a student, and I cheated on that exam, I certainly hope they don't find out. I'm not walking integrity. I didn't put a full work week in, and they messed up on the timesheet, and I'm just going along with it. Inappropriate actions at work or in life, and I'm worried somebody's going to find out. And if somebody finds out, what am I going to do? We are the kid with the cake all over our face, or the kid in the cookie jar. You're not walking integrity because when you walk integrity, you walk securely. One of the things I found out in life is when you've done something that you know is not right and you try to deal with it, it's a lot more effort to cover up than just being right and just being well and having a good name. It takes a lot of effort for people to live that just are not good. And a good name builds and instills a tremendous amount of confidence. So a good name is better. Why is it better? Because the first thing it does, it instills confidence. The second thing is, a good name speaks for you. A good name speaks for you. And we're going to go to 2 Chronicles here. And 2 Chronicles talks a lot about Solomon. And we've been talking a lot about Solomon because a lot of this is in the book of Proverbs that we've been in. And Solomon, as I mentioned from the last message 2 weeks ago, was the wisest man that ever lived. He asked God said, you can have anything, and he asked for wisdom. Anybody remember that from a couple weeks? All right. So because God gave him the option and gave him wisdom, God gave him everything else in abundance. So meanwhile, Solomon's name had this good reputation and had gone throughout the known world. In doing so, we have this queen that's in Sheba in parts of Africa, and she wants to find out just how wise he is. So this is where we come to in 2 Chronicles 9. And it says here, when the queen of Sheba heard of Solomon's fame, in other words, she heard of his name and his reputation, she came to Jerusalem to do what? To test him with hard questions. I got to stop here. Gentlemen, how many of you have ever had to answer a hard question from a lady? Now, I'll give you an example. Does this make me look fat? Now, if you have to answer that and there's a good answer and Solomon did it, I really need to know the answers to all these questions, because Solomon answered these questions. There's no easy answer there, am I right? You're in trouble regardless. Or how does my hair look? Nice is not the right word, gentlemen, just letting you know. That means, ladies, what does nice mean? Not good enough, right? Okay. And if you go fantastic, you're in trouble anyway. So just go with it. So anyway, I have no idea how Solomon did this, but I want to look some more here. And it said, and Solomon came and talked with him about, here we go again, all she had on her mind. This is a long trip that she took, and she is talking to him about everything she had on his mind. If I gave you men are getting real nervous that if I said your homework today, this week is to listen to everything your wife has on her mind this week, you are in trouble. Because there's a lot of stuff there. But sometimes we do need to stop and take and listen. But here we go. Scripture states, not a single question was too hard for Solomon. He answered them all. And the queen said this, and this is in the next section, verses 5 through 6. She said to the king, the report I heard in my own country about your achievement and your wisdom is true. But I did not believe what they said until I came and I saw it with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half the greatness of your wisdom was told to me, for you have far exceeded the report I have heard. You see, your reputation can go before you, or your reputation can sort of go before you. Have you ever met somebody in your life that when you meet them and they introduce you, like if they say, hi, this is Jack Cohen, they go, oh. You know they've heard something. Right? That's not the most wonderful thing. But if you have somebody and you say, hey, this is Jack Cohen, they go, oh, hey, you know there's something else. Oh, it's good to meet you. It's like, oh, nice to meet you. You know there's two different things. So you have a reputation that you know which road that came down. Am I right? Which either way that it came down that way. So if you've ever met somebody before who thinks they know you, or what about you? Have you ever, let me just ask by a raise of hands, have you ever run into somebody that you heard a lot of negative stuff about before in your life, and when you met them, your immediate approach was, eh. But then maybe as you got to know them, you were like, not so bad. Anybody? Anybody done that? What about some people that you've met that you heard were just evil incarnate, and when you met them, you're like, oh yeah, they're evil incarnate. Anybody that way? So this is what happens. Our reputation is very important. Let's go back to some of these names I mentioned earlier. Billy Graham, great reputation. Mother Teresa, fantastic reputation. Dr. Martin Luther King, all these are powerful, good names that stand out. But I got to tell you something. When William Graham was born, it meant nothing to anyone except for his parents and family. When Teresa, or whatever her name was before, I forgot, was born, it meant something to the family and those around her, but not to the rest of the world. When Martin Luther King was born, Jr. was born, yeah, that was a good name because of Martin Luther, but now more people recognize Martin Luther King, Jr. than they recognize Martin Luther. What changed was the life that they lived in that good name. And so that's what's so important. It's desirable than more riches because we are seeking out to make it what it should be. For example, on Facebook, somebody posts something on your wall that's inconsistent with your character. Has anybody ever done that to you? And when they do, all of a sudden, occasionally, you'll have people that are your friends that come to your rescue. And social media say, no, that's not true. This is what happened. Have you ever had that happen? And when that happens, you realize it's because people recognize who you are. So for instance, I told you, I asked people, Jack Cohen is. Let's see who Jack Cohen is. Don't you want to know? Somebody put my face on Peter Frampton and said, Cohen is alive. Somebody wrote, is always there when you need them. Other person put, too busy. That's my mom. Somebody wrote, lucky he has Melissa to have his back. Some person wrote, real. Another person put, losing it. Interesting teacher. There's that interesting word again. One person put, an awesome pastor and friend. One person put, a turd. They know me. All right. One person put, wasting time on Facebook. Some person said, making a difference. Another person said, husband of a wonderful woman. Another person wrote, the craziest, funniest, most inspiring man I could know, and let me add, a great friend, husband, father, professor, and pastor. My sister wrote, my favorite goofball. Good man, talented pastor, faithful friend, husband, and father. Someone wrote, trolling for compliments. I like that one. I like that a lot. All right. One person who I was real good friends with in high school and I've only seen a couple times said, a great role model for our kids today. One person said, always there for me, even if I haven't talked to him in a while. And you know what's interesting about this? If I were to go ahead and look at the front of this paper, some of those would be the last thing I would write down about myself. If I said my name is, I would probably end up putting insecure. Fails at times, doesn't meet the needs of people, frustrated, angry, not a good father at times, not a good husband at times. Anybody with me here? It's amazing the things that other people see in you that you don't see in yourself. Because we're criticizing ourselves, and when I see Jack Cohen, I'm a little bit like, wow. But you know why? Because there's times in my life that some of the stuff that I'm dealing with in here and in here in what I'm sharing with you out here. Anybody else with me? And it takes so much effort in my life to make sure everything's going out here when really I struggle with what's going on in here and here. And it's a fight. It's a conflict that we deal with in life. And when you see these things, sometimes they're good, but other times they break your heart because in somewhere in there and with Satan on your shoulder telling you, you're really not this person. But a good name gives confidence. So if I recognize that's who I am, I can walk in life securely with confidence. It also speaks for me. What I found that if I speak for myself, I speak totally negatively for myself. But when other people speak, they see something completely different in me. Or I'm just trolling for compliments. What about your name? What would you write down on the front of that paper? Hello, my name is. And when you, if you wrote your real name, what does that mean in life? What does it mean? So what we have so far is a good name instills confidence. A good name speaks for you. And the third thing is a good name inspires others. Inspires others. In 1 Corinthians 1:11, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthian church who had a lot of different issues, and they want to know about what it means to follow Christ. In a sense, they've got this concern, the same stuff that we all deal with, where it says here, I don't know what they may be feeling like, I don't know what I can do, this seems really difficult, I'm failing at this, I'm not being who I need to be, I'm trying to walk in this, but I'm failing, failure here. And Paul says, here's the deal. Listen to the Apostle Paul. He says, here's the deal, here's what I want you to do. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. You can hear Paul saying, listen, I know you're worried about all these little things, but guess what? Just follow me, because I got my eyes on Christ. I'm not perfect, but just do what I'm doing because I know I'm forgiven. I know that Christ loves me. Here's the thing, and I want you to hear this. I want to listen right now, whether you're church online or whether you're here. If you are a follower of Christ, you should be inspiring to people. Let me say that again. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you should be inspiring to others. Why? Because to have one day in your courts is better than what? 1,000 elsewhere. To have a day with God sets you up to be able to deal with all the struggles and things life throws your way. It's not to be determined by the circumstances around you. It helps you rise above the stuff because it's built on a foundation and an ongoing. Remember how many have been tweeting God? Remember that? Your day with God, it roots you, enables you to go wherever you need to go and to deal with whatever you need to deal with. And people will see it and they will be inspired by it. Other examples are, somebody may look at you and say, well, I got two handfuls of stuff in life. But all I get is toil and frustration. I feel like I'm chasing after the wind. And my hands are full, but I just got stuff. That person has one handful. And look at them. There's a piece that they have that I need in my life. I want it. I'm inspired by it. As followers of Christ, you should be able to walk and live in a way that inspires people. Not perfectly, but being perfected by the one who is. We're not good, but Jesus is. And that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, for those who believe in Christ, lives in you also and dwells in your mortal body, and that is inspiring. And I know right now everybody here is saying this, Jack, I'm not an inspirational person. I'm not a Billy Graham. I'm not Martin Luther King Jr. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not a caring person. I'm just a bank teller. I'm just a grocery clerk. I'm just a doctor. I'm just an attorney. I'm just a contractor. I'm just a laborer. I'm not some kind of inspiring person. So here's what I want to do. I want to do a little quiz. You ready? Everybody ready for a quiz? Yeah. All right, here we go. I want to ask you this question. Who was Miss America in 2002? Who was Miss America? Nobody? No. We don't know. I could give you the name. Want to know the name? Katie Harmon. You know her? You know where she's from? Oregon. First person from Oregon. You didn't know her, did you? Nope. Guess what? Next week's a big week. What is it? What? The Super Bowl. The Super Bowl. And here we go. Who won the Super Bowl in 2000? Don't Google it. Huh? Nope. Nope. Well, Eagles never won it. Yeah. Nope. That was the next year. The Los Angeles Rams, the greatest show on turf. Anybody know who the MVP was? Exactly, Kurt Warner. Come on, what's wrong with you? You don't know this? All the world was watching. Billions of people around the world were watching it. And you don't know? I guarantee you 99, maybe 100% in this room had no clue and could care less. Am I right? But now let me ask you this question. You ready for this? Answer this. Who was the teacher that inspired you to do something with your life? You know that name, don't you? Let me ask this. Who was that coach who pulled something out of you and you never knew was inside you? Who was that friend that was there for you in the deepest need when everybody else took off? You know those names, don't you? That's a good name. That's a name that's worth far more than silver and gold. Those people, not the ones up in lights that win these accolades, that we forget about right away. We can all be inspiring to each other if we are followers of Christ. We should all live our lives not because we're good, but because Christ is, and we can inspire people through him. There's someone who made a difference in my life when I was a teenager. We had these things called Youth Alive Weekends. And it's basically a weekend where adults just packed as many kids as they could in the church, brought a guest pastor in, and we did some fun stuff. And it was crazy and fun. And through that, some people began to share the name of Jesus. Anybody heard of Dave Stables? Dave Stables. You know Dave Stables? You know Dave Stables? You know Dave Stables? Do you know Dave Stables? Anybody know Dave Stables? No, he did not invent Stables. But guess what? If Jill was here, she'd probably be the only person that knows Dave Stables. Most of the other people have no clue who Dave Stables is. But Dave Stables came for a youth weekend one time down here in Northeast. And he came and he shared, and we had fun all weekend. And there was this one night, it was Friday or Saturday night, where he shared just his testimony. And he sat and he took out a guitar and sat down. I think he sat down either in a chair or right at the altar and began to play. Some of the stuff that he shared, I can't tell you exactly, but I knew the stuff that Dave shared touched my heart in a way it never had before. And also with some of my good friends, too, who became my best men in my wedding. And whatever happened in that place was because there was a man named Dave Stables who came. And I've seen him probably on my hand 4 or 5 times in my life. Last time I saw him, he came and visited Dad when Dad was recuperating over in Jennersville after one of his many surgeries. And as Dave was there, you know what Dave did? He went into a place where a nursing facility and brought out his guitar and played for people. Didn't have to, but did that. But I got to tell you, because of what Dave Stables did at that point in my life, it has affected everybody in this room and people watching online. Because he inspired something and brought something from me and connected me to God in a way that I never could have been if it wasn't for Dave Stables. You have no clue who this man is. But because of him, I can tell you, because of him and many others, I'm your pastor here today and this church exists because of him. That's living an inspiring life. And I've seen him about 5 times in my life. That's what it means to be an inspiring person. That's what happens when we do that. A good name, why is it better? It's better because it instills confidence. A good name speaks for you, and a good name inspires others. But there's many people who are sitting here right now, and like, Jack, you don't know what I've done. And you may know what I've done. So that should tell you there's no way I can have a good name. And if I don't have a good name, what do I need to do? Here you go. Number one, recognize that the wrong motives drain life from us. In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus is talking to a church, and I love it because in each section, he's speaking with a church, and he knows them. And when you call somebody by name, anybody have any cute names for each other, like Pookie Bear? Like if you had something like that, Pookie Bear, like for instance, let's pretend that Ray's wife calls him Pookie Bear. I don't call him and say, hey, brother Pookie Bear, what's up? Because she knows him in a way I don't. And Jesus at this point knows these churches in a way that we don't. And here's what he says. I know your deeds. In other words, I know your name. You have a reputation for being alive. That sounds good, doesn't it? But you're dead. But you're dead. Why? Maybe you feel that way today. Maybe you feel like you're a person who people, if you put on your name is, people put all this stuff, and that deep down inside is, you're dead. You feel like you're dying. You say, I have a good name. People think I'm a good person, but really I'm dead inside. Everybody, or you may even say, everybody knows it. I know it. The people sitting right next to me, they don't even know me, but they can tell. Well, welcome home. You're at the right place. Because you're in a place where whether you're sitting here or your church online, I got a scripture for you. It comes from Romans chapter 3, verse 23. We've all fallen short of God's glory. We've all fallen short of his standard. And we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of that. You know what all means? All of us. Everybody. It means Jack Cohen. It means Fred who's saying, come as you are. It means the people who are running this in the back. It means the person who's sitting home at church online. It means the person on your right and the person on your left. And it means the person who, stuck in the middle with you. Yeah, that one. But here's the good news. The good news is that even though our names in this world aren't good, there is one whose name is. There's one who is actually that great name that the rulers will bow down to one day, that demons shudder at when you mention it. There's one name that is above all other names, and his name is Jesus. No amen there? There we go. All right. And let me just say this. There may be some of you that came in that feel like you're in bondage for choices that you made and the life that you lived, and you feel like it's suffocating you. Here's the good news. Galatians 5 tells us this. Through Christ, you can be set free. And if the Spirit sets you free, you are free indeed. You know what? Some may say, I feel distant and far from God. Ephesians tells us, by the power of Christ, and since you're listening to this message today, you're being brought closer and near to the blood by the blood of Christ. You may feel like you're unlovable and unaccepted. Romans 15 says, in Christ you are accepted. You may feel sinful, filthy, and dirty. 2 Corinthians 5 says, in Christ you can be made a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Okay, Jack, but you don't know me. You don't know what I did, you don't know what I've done, and you don't know my thoughts. You're right, but guess what? Has any of you decided to torture, kill, or torment Christians? Because all these quotes that I gave to you were written by a guy named Paul, who early on, his name was Saul, and he went ahead and he hunted down the church and he killed them and he brought them to trial. And guess what? God used him to write 23% of the New Testament, second only to Luke, who wrote Luke and Acts. You're not too bad. Guess what? Actually, you are. Look at the person next to you and say, you're bad. Now you can give your best Michael Jackson, I'm bad, all right? You're bad, but guess what? Jesus is too good. You're bad. I'm bad, right, Michael Jackson? But Jesus is too good. For all that bad you've got, recognize that you are too bad, but Jesus is too good. And as we wind this down today, hear this. For the last thing I want to share with you is this. Do not let your past detours determine your future course. There's so many people that that drive down I-95 looking in the rearview mirror that you never get to where you're going to be. Because if you're taking notes, I don't have a space for this, but I want you to do this. And just hear this. You are creating tomorrow's legacy today. I had a class the other day and I asked them, what was the purpose of life? And four people in that class said, to have a legacy. To have a legacy. I said, what does that mean? And they begin to struggle with it, to find my purpose. So no matter what you've done, for those of you who are sitting here today, no matter what you've gotten into for those who are church online, today's the day to start your legacy. I want to end this today as the praise team comes with a story. I've done a lot of funerals over the years. Matter of fact, my first year in Lewis, Delaware, I did 36 funerals. And I remember very early on in ministry, I did a funeral for a lady and a family. And I went ahead and I met with the family, which I usually do, or I call them on the phone because I like to personalize the funeral services. And this lady was well advanced in years and passed away. But she had spent her entire life getting stuff. She kind of was a hoarder and kept a lot of stuff, spending time on things that really didn't matter. And I was talking with her family and her friends, because I wanted to share personal stuff. And I said, so tell me about her. What was she known for? There's this long, awkward pause by her family, by her friends. And they sat for a while, and they said, well, she loved watching birds. Yeah, she liked all kinds of birds, and she'd sit and watch the birds. I said, okay, that's good. People told a joke about her watching the birds. And I said, okay. I said, what else? Another long, long longer, awkward pause. So she liked watching birds. I even tried to lead them into other stuff. Like, was there any kind of special bird? No. And I said, okay, well, what else? And they said, well, you know what? One person looked and said, I said, what about food? They said, oh, no, she didn't really like anything special. You know what she did like? She liked hot sauce. I said, okay, that's good. Any special kind? No, any kind of hot sauce. Put on everything. So I went into this funeral with this lady who liked birds and hot sauce. Don't you want to be known for more than birds and hot sauce? 80 years and all you got is birds and hot sauce? We laugh, but it's sad. It's sad. I had to make up stuff. I looked at her property to see if she liked the color white. They didn't have a clue. I figured she liked red hot sauce. God has made you more for this. You see, she said she didn't even settle for good. Birds, hot sauce, life's good. God's made you for better than this. You are better. Look at a person better on your right side and tell them you're better than birds. Look at a person next to you and say, you're better than hot sauce. God has made you for more than this. Because a good name is greater than riches. To be esteemed is better than silver and gold. Amen. Let's pray. Please stand. Lord God, I just thank you that you have made us for so much more. God, that we are made for a good name, which is better than any of the world's riches, better than silver and gold. And it certainly is better than birds and hot sauce. And so, God, right now, we need a good dose of your hot sauce, your Holy Spirit. Fill us, Lord, so that we can be an inspiration to so many people. You've created us with a purpose for a legacy. God, we are not perfect. And when somebody tells us we're not perfect, let us rejoice and say, awesome, that's great, I'm not, but I know the one who is perfect, and he's working on me. God, help us to have a good name so that people can place confidence in us and we can be confident and secure in our own lives. Help us to recognize that what we do in life is more important than what our name says, but that name is attached to that, and that our reputation can be one that people can say, wow, what an amazing person. And they'll know that it's because we spend one day in your courts, that we spend with one handful, not two. That we take your wisdom and we apply it to our lives. And that's what gives us a good name. Because we share the name of our daddy. We share the name of our risen Savior and Lord. His name is Jesus Christ. Our last name is Christian. And so we represent who he is. And for those of us who don't have a good name or feel we don't have a good name, let's stop seeking after the wrong things which are draining the life from us. Yet people may think of us as alive, but we feel dead. Help us to recognize that we are too bad, really bad, but you are so good. And God, ultimately, don't let our future be determined by our past mistakes. And so if there's somebody here right now who you're caught up in your past detours, and you're caught up in the fact that people remind you of what you did years ago or even this week, and you just need to, you want your name to be better, just kind of lift your hand where you are. Even if you're at home, just lift your hand. God, I want to be better. If you feel that life is just draining you and that you've sought after some of the wrong things, that maybe you've not taken that day since we've been talking about. You may have been still going after the two handfuls and you're not being very wise in Christ. If you need something from God, just kind of lift your hand where you are and say, I want something better. And for everyone else, he just says, God, I want to be able to see how myself as you see me. Just go ahead and ask the Lord to do that. And ultimately, if you've never, ever reached out to the name that is above all names, the name that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, if you just need to open your heart and your life today to say, I'm tired of the good that's draining me. I need better. And I'm going to start that today by giving you this mess of my life. Because I'm not good. But you are too good, God. If you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just kind of lift your hand where you are and let him change your life. Lord God, I just thank you for everyone here today that you want better for your children. Help us want better for ourselves. Help us to want to seek you. Help us to recognize that all the other stuff we chase after fails in comparison to the name that we have and the reputation that we need. It's better. It's better. So God, during this time right now, I pray for everybody here. Let your spirit move within them. As our Stephen ministers are up forward to pray with people today, let your spirit move in this place. Let it move, God, so that we can connect closer to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Great unknown, where feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. Rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you never failed and you won't start now. So I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, and you are mine. Oh. Spirit, lead me where my trust without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest.
Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. How many of you had to like shovel some snow out? Where you're like in here, anybody have snow fall down your boot? And like I said, wouldn't it have been cool to just kind of walk across it? You see, that's what God wants to do when the oceans rise. And he wants to take us deeper, because when it's deeper, it's better. When it's deeper, we got to trust more on him, less on ourselves, because guess what? I'm not good. I'm bad. Who's bad? I'm bad. But God in Christ is so good. So good. All right? So next week, we're going to wrap up this series. The series, Better. And we're going to talk about Better is Patience. Aren't you excited about that one? Better is Patience. And then remember, the clipboard's going around. You do not want to miss connecting with one... I almost said One Life to Live, Debbie. One Month to Live. It's an awesome series. And tell somebody, look at the birds and the hot sauce. Have a great week. That you? There you go.